our reading now, which is unsurprisingly Psalm 121. So hopefully you've already all found it. It's on page 622. And it's entitled A Song of Ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Your presentation's there.
Good morning. Can we have the laptop up, please? Thanks, Tim. No, don't worry. That's fine. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Look at that.
It's all the fault of my computer, I think.
Don't worry. I was only going to use it for purely humorous purposes anyway. So now you'll have to do without the jokes. Let's turn to Psalm 121 and just enjoy this lovely psalm of protection and provision together, shall we? My beautiful assistants. Don't worry. There we go. Praise you, Heavenly Father, that this is a church where your word is loved and honoured, where the good news of Jesus is cherished with joy. So please open our hearts now to help us believe and to trust you, to enjoy your word. We believe in the Holy Spirit whose word it is. Please be my help as I speak. Amen. I did tell you it was for fun, the sake of funnies. Here are the top five reasons given for joining church choirs. Number five, I have an intense dislike of ironing and wearing robes reduces the laundry. I've actually seen that in action. I used to belong to an Anglican church in my teens where the vicar, just who hated robes, spilt coffee down his trousers at 29 minutes past the hour with the service starting 30 seconds later. You've never seen somebody get into his robes quicker than that guy. And nobody in the congregation, apart from three of us, knew that he wasn't wearing any trousers. I have an intense dislike of ironing. Coming in at number four, the church choir gets the most comfortable chairs. That's usually true. Look at them, don't they look sweet? Number three, the choir can often avoid the offering. Getting towards the top now. Number two, I can eyeball who sits at the back and see the clock to see how long the sermon has left to run. It's a short psalm, so it's a short sermon this morning. And by far the top answer, the minister never looks at the choir, so it's much easier to sleep while he's preaching. Songs. It's a very weak link. Songs are what we have been talking about over August as we've looked at some psalms, using our mouths to praise God. You know, praising completes enjoyment, doesn't it? That's C.S. Lewis. He said, praising completes enjoyment. It's one thing to look at a great landscape and to enjoy it, but there's something else when you can say to somebody else, oh, look at that. It completes your enjoyment using your mouth, using our music to express outwardly the things that are inside us. Songs are such a great gift, aren't they, for expressing emotion, whether it is the grief of lament or adulation that goes with triumph. Songs mean a lot to us. I guess most of us have songs in our lives that, if you like, have been the soundtracks to significant periods for us. I wonder what your favourites are. I guess if we had time to share, we would find that our songs say quite a lot about us. Almost as if those words and music capture something, reflect something back to us about who we are. Psalm 121 is a particular type of song, and we can see that in the superscription, a song of ascents. Remember that the Psalms are the only bits of the Bible where the heading is actually part of the scripture and not editorial. So we always read the heading when we do Psalms. A song of ascents. 14 Psalms are songs of ascents, Psalm 120 to 134. And they all belong together for a particular kind of occasion. These are psalms, these are songs, for when God's people were going up to Jerusalem. Three times a year they gathered from everywhere, from all over the land and from further afield, from all over the world. Three times a year for the main feasts of Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles, that harvest feast. And these are songs that are looking forward to celebration. They're looking forward to partying and looking forward to feasting, and their songs for the road as they go up. Wonder what you sing for family journeys in the car. Munchkin likes to sit in the car seat and demands his favourite song, which, believe it or not, is "Give Thanks to the Lord our God and King." And then he tries to get me to put my hands in the air when I'm driving. And I say, "I can't do that, I'm driving." And he says, "Must do it, for saying God is great." I tell you, it's so much better than "the wheels on the bus go round and round times a thousand." The songs of ascent are songs for the road as the people are on their family journey together. And just like the people on their journey sing, so the songs of ascent take us on a journey as well. They tend to begin a long way from God, a long way spiritually, in distress perhaps, troubled by enemies, afraid, and a long way physically from Jerusalem. Some of them are from exiled places like Kedar and Meshach and all those other places that you've heard of so often. But by the end of the journey in the Song of Ascents, the people, the believers, they're gathered. They're gathered in unity. They're gathered where God is. They're lifting up their hands in praise. They're knowing the blessing and security of the Maker of heaven and earth. And the Songs of Ascents trace that journey from fear to God. So what about Psalm 121? Well, it's close to the beginning. They're still quite a long way from Jerusalem. It is just possible, a number of the commentators suggest, that this psalm was written for the journey, the one back to Jerusalem when they were all led out of exile in Babylon, with Nehemiah. They'd been separated from the temple for decades of longing. Well, maybe that's true, maybe it isn't. But they need God's help. Perhaps these people are singing this round a campfire at night on the journey. A little bit different to glamping and Eurocamp, I guess. It's dark, at risk from bandits, wild animals. If it is the Nehemiah return, then they have enemies who are actively hating them, trying to stop them, threatening to destroy them. What do believers say to each other when we are in danger? How do we have a conversation about how to trust God? I think that's what's going on here. They exhort each other. They encourage each other. "Don't you see? He's going to keep his people who are devoted to him going so that he can accomplish everything that he wants to through us. So keep going." One person starts off, I think, perhaps in verses 1 and 2. "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" And somebody else replies, "My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. How am I going to get help to get to this place of devotion, the place of worship and celebration? It comes from the Lord. There's no better help. He's the Maker of heaven and earth. These hills you see around us, he's made them. He's not going to let your foot slip. He's going to watch over you. He's going to protect you in his service. He's going to keep us secure on this journey and forever and forever. Isn't that how we should encourage each other in the face of danger? When one of us is afraid, or when doubts are starting to creep in, they're saying together, come on, put your hope in him. He's going to be our helper. And that's what home groups should be for. We lift each other up. We encourage each other with prayer and support. Come on, trust him. He's with us. He's going to be our helper. Now, these hills surrounding them, I love the Lake District too. Our first family holiday with Munchkin, we actually drove that pass after he'd been with us just a couple of weeks. Some commentators think they're places of safety, and certainly lots of hills in the Bible are places of safety because you can't get chariots up them. And if your enemy has camels, you go to the hills. Others suggest they're places of danger. Oh, don't you spend too much time in those hills, because that's where thieves and robbers hide out to prey on pilgrims going to Jerusalem. I think this one's probably that. I think this is the latter of those, because wherever this singer gets help from, it's not from the hills. In fact, looking at the hills draws out this cry for help. I can see countryside that intimidates me with 1 in 3 gradients. So God, come and help me. Psalms have so much about fear, what to do when we're afraid. When you get home, if you have access to the internet, just type in Psalms and fear and see how many things come up. Or Psalms and the word afraid. You'll find that so many are about protection and provision in fear. How do we stop our hearts being afraid? Time after time, the Psalms say things like, your hearts will be secure without fear when they are steadfast and trusting in the Lord. And then no fear of bad news will overcome you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Perhaps the most succinct summary is Psalm 118. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. Perhaps that's the take home for you from this morning. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. In fact, let's say it together, shall we? The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. I guess Psalm 23 is one of our favourites. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Lots of people at the time actually trusted hills to keep them safe. Easy to defend against enemies. But they also trusted them because they were homes to pagan shrines. You went to the hills, to the high places, to sacrifice to idols, do a bit of divine arm twisting for crops or fertility or victory. Hill gods, they were seen as providing spiritual insurance, and their hills were the centres of evil worship. But these hills aren't keeping the people safe. They're a source of fear. But they're heading to another hill, one with a fort at the top of it. They're heading to a hill called the Mountain of God, or Zion. There the temple stands, and God manifested his presence in Jerusalem. That's home. That's the place where fear of these hills melts away, because it's a glorious hill. They're looking around them, perhaps menacing hills, evil high places, tempted to let those mountains that tower over them fill their hearts with fear. They're encouraging each other, don't let these hills fill your perspective. Don't let these hills grip your heart. Remember where we're going. We're going to the hill of safety and security and home. I wonder if you can think back over your life so far and bring to mind some examples of when God has protected and helped you. It's important to do that. It gives us faith that he's going to do it again. Especially important when we face times that, humanly speaking, look difficult or hopeless. Perhaps particularly when we or people close to us are dying. Look to the right hill. Verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. The maker of heaven and earth is not going to fall asleep on us. He who watches over you, he watches over us. He's not going to slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will watch over you both now and forever. His help starts now, it goes on forever in verse 8. We can see how the psalmist wants us all to have confidence by how often he repeats certain things. You see just how much repetition there is in these 8 short verses. The Lord, that gets repeated time after time after time. Verse 2, verse 5, twice, verse 7, verse 8. The Lord, his covenant-keeping name. He keeps his promises to us. Watching. This could almost be called the Psalm of Watching. He watches over us, verse 3. The Lord watches over you, verse 5. The Lord will watch over your life, verse 7. He will watch over your coming and going, and that means everything in between. When you see a coming and a going, that's kind of a bookend, so that's everything, verse 8. He is the watching one, the shepherd, guarding against evil and fear. His protection and help is complete. It's refreshing. It says he is our shade. These pilgrims knew about sunstroke. I think there's a hint possibly at protection from sun and moon idols and their worshippers as well. They can put guards out at night on the journey, but God is the real protector. Don't look anywhere other than his fatherly care for protection over our lives. So what then does the Lord will keep you from all harm in verse 7 mean? Many of us have known harm in our lives and tragedy. Was God sleeping on the job when that happened to us? Well, no, it says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is protecting. And tragedies come, and believers aren't cushioned from those, and he is keeping from all harm. What's it mean? Luke 21, Jesus says that being one of his disciples might mean that your family will betray you to death, that happens in some places in the world, and that not a hair of your head will perish. Betrayed to death, and not a hair of your head will perish. It says by standing firm you gain life. So God's protection from harm for these pilgrims and for us does not mean that they might not get killed. It certainly doesn't mean that we won't suffer all the ravages of living in a fallen world. We do. It means we're not going to perish eternally. This protection means we have eternal life. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed, Father, I don't pray you will take them out of this world with its troubles and its trials, its persecutions. I pray that you'll protect them from the evil one and that you'll bring them to be with me where I am. And so we don't want to read a psalm like 121 without thinking about that other hill in Zion called Calvary, do we? That's the hill of home, where Jesus, the good shepherd, said, I look after my sheep when they're in danger. I am the protection of God from the evil one. I save your lives by laying down my life, paying for sin, making us right with God, and giving us his peace. He is the ultimate helper that Psalm 121 is pointing to, because he went to the cross in the place that they're headed to. And died in our place. If we're walking hand in hand with him, friends, he is our protector and our provider. Keeps us safe from the evil one. Maybe you're particularly aware of Satan's attacks at the moment. Don't know, work or home or in your emotions or thought life. Facing the future, perhaps. Maybe you know your life is failing. Trust the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Get your church friends around you to pray and encourage you like these Psalm 121 pilgrims are encouraging each other. Maybe there are practical dangers for you, financial ones perhaps. Practical dangers face these people all their journey. The Lord is watching over your life. He watches over those who are his. This is the Psalm of the Watching One. If your trust has started to wear a bit thin, Maybe your faith is a little bit see-through and transparent this morning. He's saying to you, I'm your helper. I'm not going to let you slip from my care. If your memory of God and desiring Him like this, like they do, is distant, then this psalm is an invitation this morning. It's time to get back on the road. Time to start being a traveling people, going back in the direction of that great celebration. It's time to turn back. It's not too late. It's never too late. You can't be too old or too young to get back on this road with Jesus. You know how sweet it was once. He's inviting you, calling you again. And maybe for some of us, but many of us perhaps, He's showing us this morning how to encourage somebody else who's afraid. How to come alongside with words of counsel. It's a great psalm to sit and read through with somebody, to pray with them. How to walk them into the presence of God, building their faith and trust. We're a fellowship where that happens so regularly. I am so glad. Not just from Adrian to the congregation, everybody to everybody, as we get the chance to encourage and disciple and one another. So it's a short psalm. It's repetitive. It's like saying, are we there yet? Over and over and over again. Desperate for the journey to end and the feast with God to begin. It's not a song for the half-hearted. It's a song for those who love Him and yearn for Him. It's a song that says, this journey we're undertaking with God, you know He's in control. You might feel under threat. You might sense unseen eyes boring into the back of your head. But this is a journey in His world, in His power, under the control of God and walking with the Holy Spirit. Let's set our hearts on being with Him. Let's devote ourselves to journeying with Him. We can have the same desire, in fact, greater happiness in Jesus in our hearts than these people had when they fixed their thoughts on being with God in Jerusalem. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen.